George King's claims were mainly to do with intelligences from this solar system, which makes him very unique, especially nowadays, because most people don't believe, you know, there could be life on Mars and Venus. What they mean is that you and I can't live there. Doesn't mean nobody else can, and I think that's one of the things from the excerpt we heard. You know, we may not be able to see life, detect life. It doesn't mean that it's not there. In the same way that when people die, and I believe most people, according to polls in America and Britain actually, believe in life after death. So, but they obviously, therefore, they believe in a life beyond the physical.
I interviewed one of my favorite astronomers last night, Seth Shostak. And Seth, of course, is part of the SETI program, searching for extraterrestrial life, yet doesn't believe in an afterlife. He thinks that when he goes. That's it.
Well, that's a shame. I mean, that's one thing where I can, you know, I've done a lot of work myself, which is a much, much more basic level than the sort of things George King was doing. But I've had several contacts with people who've died myself. And, I mean, there's no question in my mind whatsoever about life after death. That's definitely a fact. And it's one that most people accept from whatever their religious or other standpoint. And I'm sure there are thousands of people listening to you and I now who have felt the presence in a very tangible way of their loved ones who have died.
No question about that.
I mean, it's very common, and it's not just wishful thinking. You can get a definite smell, sometimes a physical sign of one kind or another. Well, now, when we go on to some Mars and Venus and Jupiter, that principle of life on another dimension still applies, even albeit at a much higher level. And it's great to see science actually catching up with some of this.
How much of it, though, Richard, is the physical plane? Because we know that Venus is hot. You know, we've had a couple Soviet probes that popped down there years ago. And like you say, what could live there may not necessarily live here and vice versa. But how much of it is a physical plane, and how much is maybe this other dimension that we would call the spiritual plane or something else?
Well, they wouldn't be interested on Venus or Mars, in fact, in using the physical plane, which it, to them is very basic frequency. I mean, their existence would be on a higher plane, unless for some reason they chose to. And it could well be that that would be to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if you've had Richard Hoagland on you, I'm sure you've looked into the, you know, the pyramids on Mars and Pyramid City and so forth. So, you know, there are indications of physical existence having been there or possibly there, but they would tend to choose and naturally vibrate, if you want to put it that way, to a much, much higher plane than our very basic physical level. In the same way, in the excerpt we heard, you could get interplanetary beings who wouldn't detect us. Even if they came here, they might detect a higher level, where you have people living, but not people living in the physical world.
Now, the craft that is circling this planet, you call it what, satellite 3?
Satellite number 3.
Number 3. Is that physical, or is that some other dimension?
That is physical. They have the capacity, and this is another very interesting thing. If anyone, and I'm sure you have many listeners who studied UFOs, will know that UFOs very often blink out.
Yes,
as you might say.
They're just gone. Poof.
They're just gone. They just go out of existence and then they blink back in again to existence. And this is because they have the ability not just to travel through physical space, but through the other dimensions as well. So they can flip onto another plane. You know, it's other planes and other planets, if you like. So satellite number 3 operates physically because its task is to help us physically. It's to bring energy to this planet when it's in orbit of this Earth.
How big is this craft, Richard?
This craft is in excess of 1.5 miles in length.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a massive, massive ovoid craft. And it has high technology. It has the ability to pinpoint an individual who is sending out positive spiritual energy in any way. It doesn't even have to be through some form of religious or spiritual practice. I mean, they might be just full of love and compassion for, you know, victims of a tragedy or something of that nature, and helping them actively and putting out positive energy in that way. Then this craft will potentize, when it's in orbit, that action. And they have a formula that they potentize the actions 3,000 times when they're in orbit.
Why is it doing what it's doing for mankind?
Well, because they have, I think another, if I may say, fantastic question, why do they bother? So many people say that. And I think you can only be put in one word, and that's compassion. I mean, it certainly isn't for their benefit. They're really here for us. They're looking upon us as an extremely backward race, a race that has strange and horrific things called wars, that has extremely wealthy people living just a stone's throw away from people who are dying of poverty on the streets, a barbaric, immoral planet, really. I mean, that isn't to say there aren't wonderful people in it too, which there are, doing the most fantastic work for very little reward. But overall, our culture is twisted by their standards and completely illogical too.
There must be something here they like about us.
Well, they do want to help, and the only way they can help, by the law of karma, and that's a very big thing. It's above even, you know, the scientific laws of gravity, electromagnetism, and all those laws. Law of karma is the big law of the universe.